Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
Hallelujah. Why don't you take your seats? Hallelujah. Take them as you sit down, please. Before I come around the word tonight, I really want to question. When I talk about breakthrough, what that means to you? Is it about you, that you are waiting for a breakthrough for you? Or you're aiming at something higher, which is a breakthrough in you to bless others? You see, if it's all about you, the breakthrough may come, but the full benefit of God's breakthrough in your life may not come through in its fullness for you. I want to share an email that I got from a pastor friend of mine. And he's talking about a guy that he met at a wedding just recently. He said, "Recently I took a wedding at Mount Gambier and I met a wonderful young man by the name of Ben. Ben was the musician, and a very fine musician too, at both the ceremony and the reception. I had a great chat with Ben prior to the ceremony, and he's one of those charismatic people who simply ooze love and personality. The interesting thing is, obviously he knew that I was the pastor. He began chatting about his faith, and he told me his story. Until just a few years ago, he said, he was a devout atheist. And his number one sport being bringing Christians down. What's the sport you excel in? Wherever he went, he was on the lookout for Christians, and he was well armed with knowledge so he could rebuff any arguments about the existence of God. He had many books as his resource, and indeed he even used the Bible as ammunition. It happened that one day, don't you love those one days, that he was walking through a mall in Mount Gambier when a question just popped into his mind. You see, I believe in the Lord of the breakthrough. I believe that the Lord can break through anywhere God wants to break through. He didn't know where it came from, but he suddenly thought, and I quote, "I know I'll use the Bible to answer that question." End of quote. So he went to the Gospel of John, chapter 2, and he read it. And then he read it again, and then again, and again. And suddenly called out, "God, you are real." God of the breakthrough. I hope in the near future I'll get to meet Ben. He's coming this way soon. But God has been on his case for years and years and years. And he's been working so sportingly, can I say, against God's plan for his life. It doesn't matter where you've been. When the breakthrough comes, it sets you free. I just want to share that this evening before we come around the word the Lord's given me for tonight. I just want to ask that question again. Is the breakthrough you're expecting, is it about you? Is it for you? Or is it for others generating through you? Rick Warren famously said, "You were made by God and for God." Until you understand that, life will never make sense. Isn't that just a truism? You may not recognize that pre-Christ, but when you come to Christ, the realization just resounds in me. If it doesn't resound in you, it should. That you were made by God for Him. That could be the end of the sentence. That could be the end of the story. But I love the way he added on, until you understand that, life will never make sense. You know, this word that we call the Bible, this Holy Scripture, the Word of God, the Holy Bible, you might call it, is absolutely jam-packed filled with examples of people who've been on the receiving end of amazing turnarounds from God. I believe that God has made these stories available to us without having to go back into history books, without having to buy the Encyclopedia Britannica and have it stashed nicely on your bookshelf. He's made His Word available to believers and non-believers alike, for anyone who would read it. Just get a sense that the Lord is the Lord of the breakthrough, and He wants to break through not just in some areas of our life, but in every area of our life. That's a good point for an amen. Listen to what Paul writes to the church in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. He says, "Whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction." Now, Paul wrote this to the church in Rome. Paul wrote this to the church not long after he'd come to Christ, after being filled to overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe those words still ring true in our hearts today. Whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. Let me read on. "So that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Do you have hope tonight? Do you have hope in the promises of God? Do you have hope that His Word is true for you as it was true for those people in Rome that Paul wrote to? God wants to step into the circumstances of your life, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month. He wants to step into your life circumstances today. And I believe as you call upon Him in prayer, He will break through the dark and stormy clouds of life to touch you at the point of your need. I believe He's there to touch and to transform and to replace your parched ground with abundance and your winter season with a fragrance of spring. I spoke earlier about turning over soil, that unless a farmer turns over the soil or impregnates that soil with a plowing device or a planting device, that seed can sit on the ground and it can remain dead. It can be eaten by the birds, it can be ravished by the heat, it can be just destroyed and wither away to nothing. But there's something about planting that seed into soil that makes it decide it's going to do something. I'll tell you now, it's not the seed that decides it's going to grow, it's God. The Bible says that unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it shall not spring forth. And likewise, God wants to impregnate your life. He wants to get into your situation and into your circumstances, and He wants to break through with the promises that He has over you. Every one of us, as children of God, face a winter season when things don't seem to blossom, when things don't seem to grow, when things don't seem to change. It will happen at one time or another. It could be a divorce. It could be a loss of a loved one. It could be a financial setback. It could be struggles with our children. But when a difficult situation brings winter into our life, doesn't it just feel like frustration? Don't you just feel like stressed out, depressed, and overwhelmed by that situation? Then God breaks through. And the good news is that a breakthrough of God's love and God's favor is available to anyone who truly wants one. It's available to anyone who truly wants one. I want you to grasp that tonight. Because 2 weeks ago we talked about preparing for the breakthrough. The Bible says the sower goes into the field to sow the seed. Does he just wake up one morning and his bag of seed is sitting there by his bed and goes, "Oh, today must be sowing day." And he puts on his sowing bag and he goes out and throws out the seed. Well, the modern day farmer just goes, "Have a dull day today. I just hop in the tractor and go for a drive round and round the paddock." Does it work? No, it does not. He might get 20 metres outside the shed and the tractor might run out of diesel. He may get 5 metres into the paddock to sow the seed and a bearing would seize on the seed sower. He might be 5 hours into the work and suddenly remember, "My goodness, I didn't put any seed in the seed bin." Now we laugh about those sort of things, but if you want a breakthrough in your life, there's a preparedness that must advance before the season shifts. Amen? As farmers, we used to look to the weather. We used to look at the weather pattern, the weather maps. We'd work out what time of season would be worth going out and preparing the soil. We wanted a breakthrough in our finances. We wanted a crop that would feed cows, to produce milk, to pay off our debts, to give us a livelihood. We just didn't suddenly say, "God, give us a harvest." And watch, 400 acres of wheat just pop out of the ground with beautiful heads of grain on it, ready to roll. In Revelation 21 and verse 5, John records the voice of Jesus. He said, "He who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" How many things? God's plan for your life, for my life, for our life, for the life of this church is to make all things new. Like cleaning out my shed. I can start in one corner, I can maybe throw out some things. I can maybe do half the shed and leave the rest for another day. But sometimes the best way to do it is empty the whole lot out. And when it's sitting out there on the floor, when it's sitting out there on the grass, when the rubbish is already in the trailer, I'm not going to take it back in. And I start afresh with a clean, empty shed. Good theory. Perhaps you've been looking and searching for life's answers. The questions that are going on in your mind. Perhaps you've been looking in all the wrong places. Things like unhealthy friendships, addictions, immorality, binging on food, material gain, pornography. These things may temporarily distract you from the real issue. But instead of fixing the ache in your heart, it only grows worse. So friends, if you're looking for a turnaround, if you need a turnaround today, you can be certain where to find it. That's at the throne of Jesus. He's the only one that is able, more than able, to make all things new. Amen? Psalm 121, verse 2. The psalmist understands this principle well when he says, "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Do you think God might know a few things? All things, absolutely, because he's God. But when a psalmist like this can certainly turn to him and say, "My help comes from the Lord." Why? Because I know that I know that I know that I know that he made heaven and earth. in his day, just as in our day, people are looking around and still looking around for other sources, for their comfort, for their security. They're looking for a breakthrough. They're looking for a shift. They're looking for change. Many of them sought other gods. Others were trusting in their own strength and wealth. I ask you the question, why did the psalmist choose to put his trust in God instead of other sources? Answer is simple. Because he recognized the Lord as the one who made heaven and earth. If God is the creator of the entire universe, and I know he is, surely he's powerful enough to transform our meager circumstances and give us our breakthroughs today. Isn't God big enough to do that? Pause for a moment here and ask yourself this question. Where am I looking for my breakthrough? If you've realized that you've been looking for your breakthrough in areas and sources other than the Lord, why don't you ask him to forgive you? Psalm 123, verse 2 says, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us. But contemplate these words tonight, friends. As the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us. God and his word is the solution for all seasons. No matter what season of life you're in today, the same solution applies. Hebrews 12 and verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus. There's your answer, the author and the finisher of our faith. Friends, even if you've been tripped up, even if you've been captured, even if you've been distracted by the circumstances of life, the word promises that he will lift you up. Come with me to Psalm 145, verse 14 tonight. I want us to grasp that the word needs to be alive in us. And if there's a particular area you're lacking in or can't understand or can't get a revelation or a hold of, go to his word. Ask someone who knows his word. Say, this is my scenario. This is my situation. I can't find anything in God's word to help me through. Guess what? There's an answer to all life's problems in his word. Psalm 145, verses 14 through to 16. It says, the Lord upholds all those of his own who are falling, and raises up all those who are bowed down. The eyes of all wait for you, looking, watching, and expecting, and you give them their food in due season. The you is not me, it's not you, it's God. Verse 16, you open your hand and satisfy every little thing with favor. Is your breakthrough about finding the favor of the Lord? Because if it's not, you're looking for the wrong blessing from the wrong source. The more I look into God's word, the more I see that he is a blessing for us. He is a blessing to us. But the blessing is not to remain in here, it's meant to overflow into the lives of others. In the Message version, in verse 14, it says this, God gives a hand to those down on their luck, and we don't believe in that word, but that's the way the writer wrote it. He gives us a fresh start to those ready to quit. I know lots of people that are ready to quit, and the year's only just begun. So friends, if you've been in that place of ready to quit, remember please that God can quickly reverse your circumstances. How? through His amazing favor. Amen. In Lamentations verse 3, it says, His mercies are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. It doesn't say His gifts are new every morning. It doesn't say His favor is new every morning. It doesn't say His blessings are fresh every morning. His mercies are new. His mercy towards Himself? He doesn't need that. He's God. But His mercy towards His family, to His sons, to His daughters, are new every morning. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, He will never leave you, no matter how difficult the circumstances may seem. He will, how often? Never leave you. God can and will turn your barren winters into fruit-filled springs. Times of drought into abundant harvest. If you've got your Bibles there, Genesis 26, the miracle of God's hand working through a drought situation. Genesis chapter 26. Read from verse 1. And there was a famine in the land. You can call it a drought, you can call it a famine. Other than the former famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, and the Lord appeared to him and said, Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I will tell you. Dwell temporarily in this land, and I'll be with you and will favor you with blessings. For to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I'll make your descendants to multiply as the stars of the heavens, and give you posterity to all the lands, the kingdoms, and by your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. For Abraham listened to and obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commands, my statutes, and my laws. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him about his wife, and he said, She is my sister. For he was afraid to say, She is my wife, thinking, lest the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she's attractive and is beautiful to look upon. Verse 8. When he'd been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out the window and saw Isaac caressing Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, See here, she is certainly your wife. How did you dare, the Amplified says, how did you dare say to me, She is my sister? And Isaac said to him, Because I thought, lest I die on account of her. How often does thought get in the way? Amen? And Abimelech said, What is this you have done to us? One of the men might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt and sin upon us. Then Abimelech charged all his people, He who touches this man or this or his wife shall surely be put to death. Verse 12. Then Isaac sowed seed in that land and received in the same year 100 times as much as he had planted, and the Lord favored him with blessings. And the man became great and gained more and more until he became very wealthy and distinguished. He owned flocks, herds, and a great supply of servants, and the Philistines envied him. You know what that says to me? That those who trust in the Lord will never be concerned by the changing and the circumstances of seasons. You know that? Jeremiah 17 verses 7 and 8 carries a similar thought line. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. and have made the Lord their hope and their confidence. They are like the trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. This is coming out of New Living Translation. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. No matter what the season, no matter what you feel like you're going through, if you can hang on to a scripture like this, if you can make this scripture for your today, for your tomorrow, till that season shifts and that smell, that fragrance of spring comes. Blessed are those who what? Trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and their confidence. Then the Lord paints this beautiful picture. They are like trees planted along a riverbank. That's how the Lord sees you when you place your trust in Him. When you've made the Lord your hope and your confidence. That's how the Lord sees you. Like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. You know, I picture those willow trees on the bank of the River Murray. I see those big river gums. No matter whether it's flood time or it's drought time, they've got their roots deep and they're sucking up that moisture. As little as the moisture can be, they're sucking it and they're maintaining their strength. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. What an encouraging picture of the kind of life we have when our roots reach deeply into the soil of God's love. You know, God's love is absolutely limitless. You think you've tapped into the fullness of it, then He reveals another facet of His love. And I want that breakthrough to come into not just my life, but into your life. That each time you think you've received that breakthrough, the Lord says, you know, I'm not finished with you yet. And He does it in such a loving, caring way that you can't resist the temptation to say, I'm ready. And inside you're going, I don't know whether I'm ready. By faith you say, Lord, I trust in You. My hope's in You. Quite often read through the Psalms and Proverbs, and I was reading through the Proverbs 31, the Proverbs 31 woman the other day, and I couldn't but help read that passage where it says she smiles at the future. Are you in that place tonight where you can smile at the future? Are you in your winter heading towards your spring? Can you see the first of those blossoms starting to come? Can you smell the fragrance of those first blossoms as they've bloomed? You can do that tonight because of Jesus in your life. The circumstances may look like all hell has broken loose, but nobody appreciates you. Nobody cares. Nobody's reaching out into your life. Nobody seems to be worried by what's going on. God is the God of the breakthrough. When you call upon His name, His response is to reach out to your need and save you from certain destruction. If I could have the communion steward now begin to share the emblems with us. I believe tonight that God is already preparing blessings and favor and breakthroughs for us in the days ahead. Do you believe that? In the Song of Solomon, in the Message version, I'll read to you what King Solomon wrote. He said, look around you. Winter is over. You must live in the northern suburbs because that's hemisphere, not suburbs, northern hemisphere, because it's summer here, it's not winter. He says, look around you, winter is over. The winter rains are over, gone. Spring flowers are in blossom all over. The whole world's a choir and singing. Spring warblers are filling the forest with sweet agapellos. Lilacs are exuberating purple and perfume. And cherry trees fragrant with blossoms. Friends, winter can be over for you as well. The chilly atmosphere, the barren trees around you can easily be replaced by blossoming flowers and nature's majestic choir of praise. Whatever you may be going through today, may I encourage us all to keep on loving, to keep on praying, to keep on believing. Sing one more song in your heart. If there's no one else to hear, I know God's listening. Be steadfast. Be immovable. Be unstoppable. Pursue. Persist. Press on towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lay aside every weight holding you down or holding you back. Don't give up until you receive your breakthrough from God. Friends, the more difficult your winter season may have been, the deeper your roots grow in Christ, the greater your coming harvest will be. Amen? Because of the lessons of the winter season, a whole new beginning can be yours. New joy, new peace, new level of contentment in your life in God. Springtime is just around the corner. A great season of even greater vision. A spring of answers to your prayers. As you wait for your spring season to come, continue trusting in God. Continue crying out to Him. Continue to believe His promise. For it says in Romans 8, verse 28, all things work together for good for those who are found in Christ. All things. How many things?